We're getting towards the end of our series on the life of Peter, and today we're looking in John chapter 21. If you've got your Bibles and you want to follow it, then you can be finding John chapter 21. We'll only once dip outside of that particular chapter, and we're looking at the subject of dealing with failure. That's enough to inspire you, isn't it, eh? Dealing with failure, that's what we need. But did everyone, by the way, have a lovely Easter? Anybody got any chocolate left? No, no, no. You have. Everyone round Sir Anthony's house. They've still got chocolate. And the story that we're going to look at today is about somebody who had an absolutely awful Easter. When, as far as Easters go, Peter's Easter was the pits. Easter's Peter was awful. So let's have a look, because we're going to start with looking at Peter's failure. We're going to talk about dealing with failure. So let's have a look at poor Peter. That isn't Peter under the heavy cloud, but it could as well be. That's how he felt after his Easter. His failure. Let's just have a look. Back in Mark, and it's the only time I'm going to go out of John 21. First of all, because he failed as a disciple. Quite clearly, as a disciple, he failed. It tells us in Mark 14, verse 29, simply this. Jesus said, you know, you're going to deny me and what have you. He said, verse 31, he said, emphatically, if you must die, I will not deny you. I will not deny you. I am not going to let you down. If all others fail, if all others flee from you, I'm not going to be that one. Even though they all flee away. And this is in front of all the other disciples. Can you imagine how they might be feeling at this point, thinking, thanks, Peter. You know, if all these fail, I'm not. Not a good Easter. Because he was full of a confidence, but it was a self-confidence, wasn't it? A confidence that he could do it, that he would be all right. He boasted, maybe to make himself look good. I'm not going to be the one who lets you down. I'm going to be the success around here. These lot won't, but I will. He boasted. Then Jesus took him to the Garden of Gethsemane. And what did he say to Peter? He said, watch and pray. And he came back an hour later. Peter was fast asleep. He slept on watch. Now, whether Jesus wanted people to watch out to see whether they were coming to arrest him yet, or whether he just wanted somebody to be with him in this traumatic time, I don't know. But he let Jesus down. He fell asleep. And then they came to arrest him. And they came to arrest him, and it tells us in John's Gospel, John 18, about how he got the sword out and started to get violent. I wonder whether Phil, would you mind just coming and standing about there? Okay. What we need is a little bit more peril in this sermon. For those listening on the podcast, I now have a 4-foot replica sword. They don't know. But I'm afraid that, so Peter got violent, he got the sword, but it says that they chopped off Malchus, the high priest's servant's, right ear. That is quite difficult, but if you turn round again, I don't think it makes Peter look in a very good light when we now realise that he attacked him from the back. Not the front. I don't think that's impressive. Thanks. No blood was used during the making of this sermon. Right, so he used violence in the wrong place. And then, of course, he denied Jesus those 3 times. He denied Jesus. They said in John 18, just 17, you know, were you with him? I was not. 3 times. And then, of course, on the 3rd time, when the rooster crowed, Jesus gave him a look. I don't know what look it was. But Peter knew what the look was. And it said he went out and wept bitterly because he had failed. He had failed as a disciple through his self-confidence, through his boasting, through his falling asleep, through his reacting in the wrong way, and denying Jesus again and again and again, even though he said he would not. So in John 21, our passage, he said to the disciples in verse 3, "I'm going fishing." And it tells us in verse 3, they went out, got into the boat that night, and they caught nothing. He failed as a fisherman! And that's what he was supposed to be good at! At least he had his fishing to do, go back to. But no, he failed as a disciple 1, 2, 3, 4 times. He now goes fishing, and he fails as a fisherman. He caught nothing until Jesus came to him and said, "Put your nets there." So what we've got now is we're going to be looking. Now we know how he had failed in all these things. We come and we're going to read John 21, and I'm going to read verses 15 to 17. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." So what we were seeing here is a restoration. Maybe you've seen restoration projects. You know, recently they restored the Flying Scotsman, didn't they? And people flooded to see the totally renewed Flying Scotsman going down the tracks with great power. Or you might see a restoration project. The picture at the bottom is there from Blenheim Palace, where they're restoring a tapestry. Restoring things. Bringing things back to new. There was a church that decided it needed the building restoring, and they got some quotes for some painters and decorators, and being a bit tight, a bit dad-like, they picked the cheapest quote, and this bloke, he came to paint the church, and he thinned the paint down with turpentine. Anyway, he painted it. But then the rains came, and there was leaks. And the paint came dribbling down the walls. And he realised that God was judging him for what his shoddy work that he'd done. And he fell to his knees and said, "Lord, what shall I do?" And the voice spoke to him and said, "Repaint and thin no more." Okay. Restoration. But you know... That's the only bit you'll remember from this, isn't it? I know. Hey, it was a good joke about repair. Oh, never mind. But when God restores Peter and when God restores you, he does a proper job. He doesn't skimp. He brings you back. So let's just have a look at that passage. I've just called it there, one question times three, because that's what it really turned out to be, wasn't it? And why do you think Jesus asked this question three times? Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? I think because he was taking him back to the very fact that he denied his Lord three times. I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't know him. He did this, as far as we can see from this the passage, while they were all sitting round having the breakfast that Jesus prepared. And if you want to know why to worship the Lord, anybody who does a good breakfast, you know. But while he was sitting having this breakfast together that Jesus had prepared, it was with these, it was public. It was with the disciples. Because I think he failed publicly. And Jesus was putting him back and saying, right, I'm now going to restore you publicly. You have failed, and I'm going to take you right back to confront your failure, to confront where you went wrong. I'm going to bring you back to that place. What's he calling? Simon. Not the name that Jesus gave him. He gave him the name Rocky, or Rock. Rocky One, the original. He was called Rocky. But you see, he hadn't been very rock-like lately. So Jesus went right back, Simon, son of Peter. Simon, son of... Thank you, John. He took him right back to who he originally was. He'd been almost like stripped right back, taken right back. And then we'd got these questions. Now, I know some of you are aware of this and some of you aren't. But the word love in Greek, there's various meanings of it. The first one that I've got there, agape, is the Greek word for a love that is absolutely, totally sold out, self-sacrificial, totally giving of yourself. And Jesus said, do you agape me? Do you love me in a way that is totally sold out, selflessly, just giving and giving and giving? Is that your love for me? And Peter replied, yes, Lord, you know that I'm philio you. And philio is the word for brotherly love, affection. You know, Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love. Not the cheese, no, the city. So Philadelphia is brotherly love, right? So do you love me in a self-sacrificial way? Yes, Lord, you're my busy mate. Or yes, Lord, I'm fond of you. And people have been critical of Peter here for this. But you know what? I think he's actually been, of all the way when everything's been stripped down, and when he's actually realised how he had failed, he's at least being honest. And if Jesus was going to ask you that question, do you love me? Are you honestly saying, yes, Lord, I am sold out for you, I'm giving everything for you, I'm completely committed to you? Or are you going to say, yes, Lord, I'm quite fond of you, and I'm prepared to, I want you to be my friend? You know, which word would we use? Being absolutely honest. Because I think the bravado had been cut away from Peter. The self-confidence had been cut away. And what we were seeing now is a bit of honesty. And that's part of the restoration. Part of the thing. You see, he was being honest here. And when he was being honest, when he was being stripped back to who he really was, when he was facing up to the failure, Jesus then, so this broken man was able to say, I've got a job for you. Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep. I've got a commission for you. I've got a work for you. You see, when he was broken, when he was wounded, you know, the wounded people are sometimes the most effective. You know, it's not the self-confident, I can do it, what have you, the most effective. It's the people who've gone through life, who've lived life, who've taken the knocks. Like Peter had failed miserably, and Peter was now going to be used. Isn't that an encouragement to you? That even if you have failed miserably, you can be used by God because Peter was. Now, I'm going to show you this in a second, but I hesitated. I came across it. It's not my list, although I tinkered with it. A list of questions. That if Jesus came and actually came to you face to face and said, your name, do you love me? I wonder what would that would mean in practice. So for example, the first question, do you love being in his presence? Do you want to pray with him and worship him and being in his presence? Secondly, do you love his word, the Bible? You want to study it. You want to get to understand God's word more. You want to be able to get that. Do you love fellow Christians? That's a clear thing from scripture, that if you love him who will love his church? Do you hate the things that God hates? The thing God hates certain things in this world. Do you hate those things too? Do you long to share his love with other people, whether it's in Africa, Switzerland, or Leith? Wherever. Do you long to share his love? Do you keep his commandments? He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, every one of us could look at that list and say, I don't measure up. So I don't want you to go underneath a cloud of depression and what have you to say, I don't love Jesus as much as I should do. But let's start by being honest, shall we? Let's start by being honest. Even if we don't pass the love test, let's say, I have a cry from our hearts, Lord, I want to love you more. I want to love you more. Let's just have a look very briefly at verses 20 to 23. Peter turned round and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved. This is John who was writing the book, following them. The one who had leaned back against him during the supper and had said, Lord, who is it that's going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? And Jesus said to him, if it is my will that he remains until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. What does that tell us? One. Focus on your own story. Focus on your own issues. We look at other people, don't we, and we form opinions. And we only, of course, see part of the other people. But it's very easy for us to ask questions. Lord, why is that person so gifted in that and I'm not? Or, Lord, why is that person having to go through that and I'm not? Lord, why is... And that's what Peter was doing. Lord, what about him? And Jesus said, if he sits here till I remain, what's that to you? He's got his story, and you've got your story. And your story is unique to you, and your way is unique to you, and you go your way. You focus on your way. Don't stick your nose into other people's spiritual sort of lives, if you like. Why are they gifted? Just work with what God has given you. Because that was his instruction to Peter. Just focus. But then he followed that up by saying this. You follow me. He'd said that previously in verse 19. So it's the second time he'd actually said to him, follow me. Follow me. He just caught a huge pile of fish, thanks to Jesus' help. But Jesus was speaking to him and saying, no, you follow me. And again, see how he'd taken him back right to where he started off? He started right at the very beginning of Peter's story. We've got the catch of fish and following me. He's taken him right back there again. And he's saying again, you follow me. You ever watch these crime things where they have to follow somebody? You know, they have to keep the right distance, but what they have to do is keep their eye really fixed on the person they're following. You know, if you're following somebody, you've really got to keep your eye on them. You know, I've gone before now and they've said, you know, follow me in the car. Oh, that's fine, yeah, yeah. You know, and you caught a set of traffic lights and you think, shall I go to... You know, it's really hard to follow somebody in like that, and you hope that they pull in and let you catch up and all this sort of stuff. Jesus said, you follow me. So that means you have got, in your life, your focus has got to be on looking to Jesus. And you say, Lord, which steps am I going on? Where are you leading me to? Where am I going to? You have to follow and look intently. So let's bring things to a conclusion. And finally this, what makes us is how well we get back up after being knocked down. You know, every one of us has failed. I guarantee the first time you walked, you fell over. I guarantee that the first time you rode a bike, you fell off. I guarantee no one in this room went through their entire education getting 100% in every exam and test. Nope, everyone, no one's claiming to that one. Every one of you is no failure. But how do you get up again? I just want to say three things very, very quickly in terms of how you get back up again. One, be real, be honest, and confess where you are and where you are up to. If you're on the canvas, don't try and make out you're not. If you're on the canvas, be honest with yourself, with others and God, and say, I'm on the canvas. I've taken a beating here. I've failed. I'm knocked back. Be real, be honest with that. Two, go back to basics. Go back to the very basics of where you started off. If you walk with God, you go back to your basics. You walk by faith and not by sight. Go back to where you started. You know, they say, you know, if a marriage is going wrong, they say, let's go back to the basics. You started off by bringing a chocolates, now you bring a washing. You know, let's try and go back to how we started off. Go back to the basics and go back to our basics walk with God. You know, when you started, you read your Bible every day and you prayed, and now you've just occasionally and sometimes, and when I got a moment in my life, so busy. Go back to the basics and remember that it is God who loves you and gave everything for you. And that's what's really important. Shall we pray? We thank you, Lord, that you deal with failures. We thank you and we confess, Lord, that we have failed. That if we look at our own lives, when we look at those questions about when you ask us, do you love me? We can say in part, Lord. But we just pray that we would love you more and more, that we would get our focus right, that we would follow you, we'd keep our eyes on you, that we would be able, if you so wish, Lord, to be used by you. For Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen. And can I just say this, if there's something that's touched you today, then please, if you want someone to pray with you, then please, at the end of this service, find someone who you think knows how to pray and ask them to pray with you. There are people around. Thanks.